take you 28 miles southeast of Sardis this evening to the place called Philadelphia. We are a little bit south of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's known as the city of brotherly love. Philadelphia in the Asia Empire, Grecian area, was founded in 140 B.C. by the king of Pergamos, of all people, Attalus II. And he had a name. He was also known as Philadelphus, and that's where that name and that city name comes from. In A.D. 17, Philadelphia, that region, along with 15 other cities in the Greece area, was destroyed by an earthquake. And you can read about it. It's known as the Lydia earthquake. The area was absolutely devastated. 15 major cities were destroyed, along with a number of other smaller cities. That would be impossible to name them all. But some city names that you'll recognize: Smyrna, Sardis, Philadelphia, Ephesus, Pergamon. It's a long, vast area of that Grecian area, all destroyed. As a result of the destruction and the devastation of life, the Roman Emperor Tiberius agreed to waive all taxes on the region for a period of 5 years. That is sad that a Roman emperor has more heart than we do here in America. Wouldn't that be neat if the areas destroyed by the floods in Western North Carolina, Tennessee, got a five-year reprieve on paying their taxes? But we can't afford to do that because we're spending money in crazy places and not taking care of our own people. But anyways, Emperor Tiberius agreed to waive all those taxes for a period of 5 years. I just thought that was an interesting little tidbit. In addition to that, they sent funds. As a result, that area of Greece was extremely thankful. I'll bet. And they had gratitude. That's 17. In 23 AD, the regions were starting to recover. The 5 years are over. And so as they started to get back on their feet, they did some commemorative coins in honor of the emperor, in appreciation for what he had done. They were called provisional coins of thanks. And so these, say, why is that important? We're in the first century. Tell me who was walking the earth between 30 and 33. Well, Jesus Christ was. So here's an area that is recovering from a recovering from a devastating earthquake. And now you've got Paul taking missionary trips through here, and as a community rebuilds, they're in an opportunity for church building, church planting, leading people to Christ. And that's where Paul's missionary journeys took him. We're in Revelation chapter 3. Draw your attention to verse 7. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia. This just annoys me, that little word "in," because you got to be careful where you're going on the internet. Maybe you're not shocked. Maybe you don't pay attention to the little words. You pay attention to the little words, you'll see that many of them change that little word, the church that was in Philadelphia, to the church of or at or, but they change it. When you change a word, even a little two-letter word, it changes the whole meaning. It is a church in that place, not a type of. It is a church in Philadelphia. Right. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. Who is that? Well, that's Jesus Christ. So what is there here in this community, in this region? What is there? Why is there seven churches in these seven different cities at a time when the gospel message is going forth? Because there is an open door. He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. What does he say? I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hath kept my word, and hath not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Now they would claim the ethnicity, but they would not claim Christ. They would not be identified with Christ. Now, just an interesting little tidbit of information. The Jewish people were looking for someone to come down from heaven to be their deliverer. They were not looking for a baby born in a manger. They weren't looking for that. And so in the Gospels, when the people are listening to Jesus talk, and they're excited, they're seeing the healing, and there's a talk going around that this is the Messiah. The people were saying, this can't be the Messiah, because he didn't come down from heaven. They were looking for a man to come down and be their deliverer. We know where he was born. We know where he lives. We know his brothers and his brethren. We know his mom. We know the city. We knew he had an occupation, carpenter. And so they dismissed Jesus Christ as Messiah, which is why in the temptations of Christ, Satan said to Christ, and took him up to the pinnacle and said, cast you down. Why was that a temptation? Because that's what the Jewish people were looking for. They were looking for someone to come down from heaven. They were not looking for the babe in Bethlehem. They just weren't looking at that. And people are the same today. They say they would claim ethnicity. They would claim Jewishness. They would say, I'm a Christian. Would you talk to them? When did you come to know Christ? And they'll say something like, well, I've always been a Christian, which means they've never been a Christian. They've never been born again. They don't even know what that means. They can't translate that. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. That's an interesting phrase. Which shall come upon all the world. What is that talking about? Talking about tribulation period. To try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, and that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Of course, the Jewish people, as they're listening to this, understand that it has a present-day meaning. In this first century, when John is writing, Christianity is under intense persecution. And so you look at that hour of temptation, they were in it then, but it had a present-day meaning, had a future-day implication as well. The Jewish people understood that. We should as well. What's interesting is the open door. Every once in a while, you run into the Church of the Open Door. It's an interesting biblical name. Heard of a church this week, a Baptist church named Corinth, Corinth Baptist Church. You know anything about Corinthians? It was not a good place. I would think that I would change the name of the church to something else, Baptist Church of the Open Door, but I don't think I'd keep the name Corinth Baptist Church. It just has too many negative things attached in God's Word. Well, say, preacher, I'd love to have an open door to tell somebody about Christ. There are gospel tracts on the back table. Come with a Saturday morning and knock. Say, people don't respond from door-to-door evangelism. Yes, they do. Today I was at Fairfax Hospital at 5:40 a.m. and had prayer with a couple that has been coming to church. They sit back here, reached by Mrs. Warren and Mrs. Bird, right? And they've been coming ever since. Met with them before their surgery this morning. And they're thankful to be a part of a church family that cares and is praying for them. But it took somebody knocking on their door. Just about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Brother Dameron, Mrs. Dameron was here on Saturday morning. They joined us out knocking on doors. They knocked on a door. The person didn't come to the door. They left a gospel tract on the door. Mrs. Bishop and who was with her that week? Zenaida? Okay. We're walking by, and this lady's running down the street with a gospel tract. Did you put this on my door? And Mrs. Bishop's like, oh boy. No, it wasn't us. It was those people. She said, yes, we did as a group. We put that on your door. She said, God bless you. She said, I'm a Christian. I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. This area really needs the gospel. And she stopped them in the street and prayed over them and thanked them for being a gospel witness. Shared with you the lady that Mrs. Bishop and I met from our area down in Hampton. And God puts you in places where you take a gospel tract and knock on the door and see if it's open. God opens those doors. We don't open them. God does. Talked to a preacher on Tuesday. He mentioned a missions trip. Took his church family. There were probably 24, 25 folks that went on a church missions trip. And I believe they went to Peru. And while they were in Peru, they passed out gospel tracts and they did ministry. Most of them did not know the language. So all they could do was hand out a gospel tract and smile. And they came back. And they sat the preacher down and they said, we went all the way to Peru to pass out gospel tracts, but we're not doing that here at home. And the pastor's like, hello? yeah, absolutely. And I said, then what happened? He said, the next Saturday, nobody showed up to pass out gospel tracts. Let's turn to some scriptures. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 9. What is the Apostle Paul doing? He's on missionary trip. He's on journeys. He's going to different towns. He's leading people to Christ. He's instructing them in the ways of the gospel. He's sometimes staying there for extended periods of time to train them and establish. He's bringing in preachers and establishing churches. And he says, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, there will be adversaries along the way, but God is going to open doors of opportunity for you to witness for him if you'll take advantage of that. Turn with me back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I don't think that's the one I want. Try this again. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. That looks better. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to do what? To preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. And those, again, opportunities, the witness for Christ are opened by God. But if you're not going out, you'll never know that those doors were open. The Apostle Paul was a goer, and God opened doors. Turn to Colossians. We're at the Church of Colossae. Colossians chapter 4. Start at verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us. We have people on Saturday morning that cannot go out. They're in nursing homes, they're homebound, they're bedbound, but they can pray. And that is an important part. Paul says that is an important part of his ministry, to have people praying for him. Every Saturday morning, someone will email me, text me, and say, Pastor, we're praying for you as you go out this morning. That is important. With all, Paul says, praying for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. That you would, again, that you come across somebody's path and start a casual conversation and turn it into a gospel witness. To speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Here, Miss Bishop and I were down there in Hampton and talking to this lady about Christ. And she said, you know, my son's been after me. And he went to a Baptist church. Something happened in his life. And he got baptized. And he's different now. Isn't that interesting? I'll bet you that young man is praying for his mother. I just wonder how many people we walk by on a daily basis who is somebody's mom that they're praying for, that somebody would witness to them for Christ. And Paul says, pray for us that God would give us that utterance, that sharing, that open our mouth of Christ. Back to Revelation chapter 3. Another part of that door is a door of deliverance. Deliverance from present day persecution, but speaking of also the tribulation period. Verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. That has not happened yet. To try them that dwell on the earth, but it will. But it will. They have a little strength. Say, preacher, I'm not much. And I'm just reminded of the song, little is much when God is in it. And a reminder to the church at Philippi. Paul wrote, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Know the one who opens doors. I trust this evening you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. But know the one who delivers from temptation. You can have a phone number that you call, and that's a good thing. You can have friends that help you in the hour of temptation, and that's a good thing. But don't forget to pray. Don't forget to pray. We are indeed looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this scripture is not in my notes, but I'm going to go to Acts chapter 1. Verse 6, Acts chapter 1, Jesus Christ is talking to them about their life work. And I'm going to mention this because this is coming up this week because of what's going on in Syria right now. And we are looking, people in our day and age, Baptist peoples in our day and age, are looking for something spectacular. We are no different than in the first century. Jesus Christ is telling his disciples, I'm about to go into heaven. I'm going to leave you here behind to plant churches, to lead people to Christ, to do the work of the ministry, to be a witness, to train them, to teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And I'll be with you. Well, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. But they and we today, I've been asked this question, I don't know, maybe 12 times since Sunday. Maybe 13. Pastor, what's going on in Syria? Is this a fulfillment of Bible prophecy? My answer to every one of them has been, the next event on the prophetic calendar is a rapture. Just be careful who you're listening to on the internet. They ask the same question. Is it now? Is this the time? Lord, verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, Lord, wilt thou now, at this time, restore again the kingdom to Israel? And you notice what Christ said to them. He said unto them, it is not for you to know. So, it is not for you to know the what? The times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. You can call me on the phone. You can send me text messages. You can fill up my email. Pastor, what's going on in Syria? You're going to preach a message about what's going on in Syria? And I will tell you, it is not for me to know the times or the seasons. I am to be faithful with the strength that God has given me to be a witness to his saving power. And when that day comes, it will come. Verse 11 of Revelation chapter 3. It will come quickly. Quickly. Suddenly. Unexpectedly. It's going to catch everybody by surprise. There's not going to be any preacher standing in the pulpit saying, all right, folks, I got the key. I got the knowledge. It's coming in 15 minutes. Let's get ready. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons. So if you're listening to someone that says, oh, I know the times and the seasons, Christ said it's not for them to know. The Father. It's our job to be faithful. We are looking for that blessed hope. The Antichrist will institute a 7-year peace treaty with Israel. 3.5 years in, he will violate that peace treaty, but we will not be here. Why? Because Christ is going to deliver us from the hour of temptation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, God hath not appointed us to wrath. He doesn't. So do you worry about tribulation? I do not worry about the tribulation for myself, but I do worry about the tribulation. I'm concerned about that for the person who is across from me. Because they will go through it. And the very fact that we have engaged in a conversation, there is a door of opportunity. So pray for the preacher that God would give me utterance. Paul is saying, pray for the preacher. The preacher is praying for you. I'll tell you, if you were not here Saturday morning this last week to hear Brother Embador, you really missed it. I wish we had taped that. When we left out of here Saturday morning, I said to him, you have encouraged me to stay at it. So you should encourage the preacher to stay at it. And the preacher gets up here and says, There are piles of gospel tracts. Stay at it. Stay at it. And we encourage each other for that utterance to proclaim Christ, Jesus Christ, and His coming. And people say, America can't fall. America is so great, so vital to world evangelism. We have a great military. We're in the Make America Great Again movement. I'll just remind you that in Bible prophecy, all the nations will unite against Israel. America is ripe for world domination. We are on the precipice of extinction. Babylon lasted 70 years before God said enough. Say, if you want to look for something in the news, you should be looking for this. Fairfax County, let's get close to home. Fairfax County, how did you vote in the last election? Did you vote for debt? Last election, we approved close to $1 billion in additional spending. Right here. Did you see the news this week? Fairfax County this year is facing a $300 million budget deficit. That's just our county, one of the richest counties in the nation. And what are we doing? We are setting ourselves up to follow a one-world government, the Antichrist himself, and we will do that. I'm not going to be here. Rapture's going to come. We're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing. But people that I love are going to be left behind. That's a frightening thought. It's a frightening thought. Just for fun, I looked up the debt. You can say national debt clock and just watch that thing spin. I mean, it just 100,000, 200,000, 300,000, 400,000, 500,000, and just amazing to watch the numbers spin by. What are we? We are ripe for world domination. We are ripe to be bankrupt. The liability per citizen, not non-citizens, not guests, not diplomatic envoys, not the number of people in our country, but the amount of liability per citizen as of, it's old news, because I took this last night at about 10 o'clock. $654,800. That means Mrs. Bishop and I are on the hook for $1.3 million. That's just the two of us. Say, now maybe you do have $1.3 million sitting around at home. Oh, but if you've got four people living in your house, oh, I hate to tell you, four citizens, then that would be $2.6 million. That's a lot of liability. Where are we going? We are going to do exactly what God's Word said. We're going to align with all the nations against Israel. We're going to do that. Christ is going to come quickly, suddenly, unexpectedly. Not necessarily immediate. It's been 2,000 years since that was written. But when he comes, it's going to catch everybody by surprise. It should not take us by surprise. We should be engaged in the spiritual pursuit of pointing people to Jesus Christ. We should be witnesses telling people what Jesus Christ has done for us. What has he done for you? I don't know. I'll tell you what I tell people. He has absolutely changed my life. I hope that he's changed yours. And I witness that wherever I go. And you should as well. Jesus Christ has changed my life. Does it mean my car doesn't break down? No. Does that mean tires don't go flat? No. Does it mean that the roof doesn't leak or the foundation doesn't shift? No. But it means that that's all going to be burned up. And someday Jesus Christ is going to call me home. And I'm going to go forever to meet with him on a city that has foundations that have set by God, where there is no night, no sickness, no death, no dying, no suffering. And I don't want them to go to a place of eternal damnation. To the dead of Sardis, God gave a warning. To the faithful at Philadelphia, God gave a promise. I challenge you to be the faithful. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this reminder in the book of Revelation that we should be about your business. Business of pointing people to your salvation. And I pray that you'd help that to do us to do that. And as we go to prayer this evening, I pray that each one of us would pray that you would help us to do that. And that each one of us would pray for the preacher, that the preacher would stay at it as well. Until you call us home, may we be found faithful witnesses for you. Amazed and thankful as you open doors for utterance, telling people about our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.